Good morning and welcome to another edition of St. Louis Voices. I'm Jill Devine. And unfortunately, we talk a lot about cancer and the American Cancer Society. But fortunately, we do have the American Cancer Society so that we can get the word out about what's happening and what they're doing to combat cancer and the money that's raised and where it's going. As you know, we are in the month of September, but October, big month. It is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and so I am joined by no stranger to the show, April. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
We should have you have a little cot here for you. You know, you're here so often. And Stephanie making her first appearance on St. Louis Voices.
I am. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining me. I think it's good that we're getting the word out now about October. I think most people know what it is, but then can easily forget. So we have a lot to cover. We have a lot to talk about where we are now and some events and some different strategies that the American Cancer Society has in place. So I'm going to let you two argue over who wants to talk first and spread the word.
I'll kick it off
for
us.
All right, April.
You're so right, Jill, that it's really important that National Breast Cancer Awareness Month is coming up. And we always say this is important all year. So I don't want anyone to get the wrong impression about that, but it is an opportunity that we have to elevate awareness and to make sure that if someone hasn't gotten their screening, that this is the time for women to take note and to schedule their appointments. It is such an important cancer because of how many people it touches, how many women's lives are impacted by breast cancer each and every day. So we want women to feel empowered to be talking to their doctor about their screenings.
I often hear about National Breast Cancer Awareness and always think, okay, I know what to do. You have to get a mammogram, especially at the age of 40. However, if there's a history of it in your family, talk to your doctor, get in there. It's trained in my mind. I think it's trained in a lot of listeners' mind, but the call to action is where we're having a situation. And I think most people that are listening right now know that we have been affected by cancer right here in our building. Besides family and friends, affected by a coworker, Jen Myers from the morning show on 198. She is still battling. She's done all of the hard work, but still is taking some medicine to make sure that it doesn't come back. But she actually is the reason why I got my mammogram this year. I knew that I was turning 40 and I knew that it needed to happen, but all of a sudden I was like, oh gosh, you've got to get your mammogram. And it was her combined with another coworker, Paul, who, you know, also affected by cancer, which completely, obviously different form of cancer right now. But it took those two hitting close to home to be like, make that call to action. And that's what we want women to do right now.
Yeah. And I think that's normal because we're really busy and there's so much happening around us. And for us to take a moment and care for ourselves sometimes, it's not always at the top of our priority list. But then we see people around us like Jen, like Paul, and it does elevate that sense of urgency with us, thank goodness. And women now and men, people in general, are so empowered with information and knowledge that we didn't have a long time ago. So the fact that with the American Cancer Society is really pushing for people to feel empowered to have these conversations with their doctors, it's a real shift in the way that we're talking about screenings. And when it comes to breast cancer, women need to know their family history, like you said, what age it's appropriate for them, know the risks and benefits of a false negative or a false positive. And we want to make sure that women are going in and they are very well informed when they go in for their screenings.
I want to share my personal experience about the mammogram. It's interesting that you said that we're now talking, we're empowered. Not that long ago, that many years ago, April and I worked together on something where we were talking about bras and breasts, and that seemed a little taboo.
Risque.
Yeah, risque at the time. And now it's like, okay, the breasts, we're talking about that. It's moving on to the next cancers that are starting to be not as risque, but we're not there yet. But one of the things that you brought up, immediately I thought of the woman who performed my mammogram for me. She was so phenomenal about education and talking about the false positives and the false negatives and all the different things. I mean, all this information was just thrown at me. You're already worried a little bit, but she was so great at saying, this is what I want you to know. This is what I want you to be aware of. This is what's going to happen. And I think that that's important too. You need to know all of it before you go in and have an open conversation.
And I'll tell you, the first place everyone should go is not Google. cancer.org. And our website is backed by research. It's all scientifically based, and it's great information. It is not scare tactics. It is meant to empower people to have the right conversations with their doctors, to walk in with the right questions, to understand when they come back from their mammogram what they can expect next. So definitely visit cancer.org for breast cancer or colon cancer. I'll say colon. Any type of cancer, it's great information.
So let's get to the Making Strides St. Louis event, and we'll talk a little bit more about some of the research and the funding that goes for that. But the Making Strides St. Louis event, it's the 9th annual, and it's happening October 28th, Forest Park. So you have plenty of time to get registered and get yourself prepared for this. I mean, it's a 5K. It doesn't have to be a serious deal. We're just doing this to raise money. And if you want to make it a race and a competition, go ahead. But it's all about raising money for the American Cancer Society. Stephanie, do you want to talk a little bit more about this event?
Absolutely. So it's our 9th annual, as you said, our Making Strides Against Breast Cancer of St. Louis. And we've really seen a shift with this event. Yes, it's a 5K or a 1 mile fun walk. So again, you don't have to walk the whole time. But we've really changed the face of this event over the last several years. You're going to see thousands of people out there in Forest Park and the Lower Muni lot on October 28th. And we really are making this a family-friendly event. So we have bounce houses and face painters and caricature artists and live entertainment from Utopia Entertainment on our main stage.
They're great.
They're so fun. And we'll have Kerry Gibson there. So we're really excited that we got him back this year. But we have teams and families and companies just all coming out to have a really fun morning. It's usually gorgeous weather, knocking on wood, and it's really a fun, beautiful morning in Forest Park. Teams fundraise now, so teams can sign up at www.cancer.org, and you can search Making Strides of St. Louis, or you can go to makingstrideswalk.org and search bar St. Louis, so you can find our event that way. And we are registering teams now. Registration is free. And there's no fundraising requirement, but it is a fundraiser. And it's fundraising the things that we do at the American Cancer Society, like our research program, our Hope Lodge, our 800 number, which is 800-227-2345, or cancer.org. And they're really great feel-good moments at the walk. We have a survivor area where survivors check in, and they can get a survivor goodie bag and just take pictures with their friends in our photo booth. And then we have caricature artists and bounce houses, as I said, for the kids. We have the Jim Butler Chevrolet pink Camaro that they wrap for our event. That's our pace car this year. So it's a really fun morning, and we want to invite you all to come out and bring your family, bring your friends. You can sign up online for free and start raising some money.
And it's October 28th, so maybe people might want to have a little fun.
Absolutely.
And wear a costume.
So we just completed our Hope Hero Cape Challenge. So participants were registering online and donating $25 or raising $25, and they get to wear these pink superhero capes to the walk. So we're already in that Halloween theme. We have some fun Halloween surprises for you all that we're working on right now with some of our dance companies. So we're really excited, and we're really trying to play up the theme that's Halloween weekend. But again, people love this event. They come decked out in every pink article of clothing that they own.
I love it.
So,
I love it.
Super fun.
All right. So I guess we have to involve the men, right?
We sure do. They're a special kind.
They are definitely a special kind. So you have something really fun for them as well.
We do. So we launched a couple years ago, 3 years ago, Real Men Wear Pink. Crazy concept to ask men to put on the color pink during the month of October. But it's a fundraising campaign that individual men in our community are signing up to wear pink every day during the month of October and letting us know what they're wearing and how they're wearing it on social media. They're also charged with raising $2,500 each. and then letting their community and their networks know what they're doing during the month of October.
That's a really cool thing to just have a guy wear pink. I mean, it's going to raise questions if they're doing it multiple days in a row. I think guys now, they'll wear more pink than they did in the past. But when they continuously do it, that's really cool.
Yes. So we give them, we make a custom tie for all of our real men that's really amazing this year. And then we give them a little bit of trinkets, like a lapel pin and a bracelet and sunglasses, just things that they can wear during the month of October just to help them along, because a lot of men don't wear a lot of pink. So we have this great campaign. Last year, we had 42 men participate, and they raised $75,000. And this year, we have around 35 men signed up for the campaign this year, and we're still taking reservation, recommendations from people. You can contact the American Cancer Society in St. Louis and nominate a real man if you think that he would be willing to wear pink every day and raise some money. And I'll tell you, it's not as hard as it sounds. We have a couple real men right now. Our campaign has already kicked off. These men are eager to go. We've raised around $15,000 so far, and we're not even into October yet.
Right.
And we have a couple guys that are over their $2,500 goal. We have one guy that just hit over $5,000 a day. And a lot of them are just doing letter writing campaigns, email campaigns. Some of them are doing events. We have some former pro NFL players and broadcasters participating. And they're holding karaoke events in the new Westport Social. So lots of really fun ways that these guys are giving back. We're wearing tutus on Halloween for our pink men. We have tuxedos that guys have purchased that they're wearing at the end of their campaigns. Guys are dyeing their beards. They're doing mohawks. They're doing all sorts of crazy things. And what we're finding is these men are doing it for women in their life because they feel helpless. So last year, I'll just say Patrick Higgins, one of our real men from Royal Banks of Missouri, he signed on to do the campaign challenged by another staff. And then as he was participating in the campaign, his wife was diagnosed with breast cancer.
Wow.
So Bonnie is one of our 2017 Portraits of Hope, and she couldn't be at the walk last year, but Patrick and their three sons were out at the walk. He raised $3,400, really in honor of Bonnie. And so this year they were at our kickoff breakfast talking about the campaign and what it meant to each other to be supporting each other through that time. So
that is just,
it gives me goosebumps.
Right. I was going to say how that all intermingles. Now, yeah. One thing that you mentioned a little while ago, the survivor section of this event, and that's a really touching part of this event because these are women that went through a lot. I don't even want to say what they went through because I have no idea. And I know that I don't have the words to describe what they went through.
Well, and it's different for each of them. So when we have a group of women called Portraits of Hope, and these are women that have used American Cancer Society services, whether it was our website or got a Reach to Recovery mentorship service, or they participate in Look Good, Feel Better. So they basically had to use the American Cancer Society to qualify to become a Portrait of Hope. And they also had to participate in Making Strides in some way, whether it's their first year that they have a team. But so we identify these women every year, and their biggest charge is to tell their stories. And so I get to meet these incredible women every year that are telling their stories, and they've all now become this alumni group. We have different women every year. And so for the last 9 years, we have all these women looking back, and many of them are still with us. And so that's really inspiring to those newly diagnosed women at the walk to see Bridget, a 10-year breast cancer survivor, or Sharon, who's a 15-year breast cancer survivor. And they're all women that they can intermingle with and talk to. So the feeling around our event that I love that we've created over the last several years is a feeling of intimacy. And it's not because it's small, because we have 7,000 people. It's small because everyone knows everybody and everyone's connected through these survivor stories that we really have done a great job with sharing their stories.
I can imagine that these women, they are a little group. They are...
they're a tribe.
Yes, because it can't be easy to talk to your best friend or your sister or your mother about what you're going through if they don't know what you're going through. But these women, they know. Even if their story is different, there's probably some similarity in there.
Absolutely. When we go to dinners or we have just gatherings with these ladies, we do dinners at Hope Lodge together so I can get them all connected again. We do happy hours with all the past Portraits of Hope and the current Portraits of Hope. And they really kind of feel like it's their own sorority. And the conversations that they'll talk about are just so unique and things that I can't even, I'm not a breast cancer survivor. And so I can't even relate to, but they're all talking about having sexuality and having breast cancer or getting nipple tattoos. And those are things that you don't normally think about, but they're all, you know, they all talk about where they get their lymphedema sleeves. And those are things that I can't help them with, but they all help each other. They are picking out each other's wigs in our wig room together. They're showing each other which hats they've purchased. But then they're the ones that are the 10 and 15 year survivors that are kind of the benchmark. That's where they want to get to. So for me, it's really, we've created this really unique support group of these ladies, and they're our largest fundraisers. You know, tying it back to Making Strides, those women are raising dollars for the American Cancer Society so their daughters, granddaughters don't hear the words, you have breast cancer. And that's really empowering for me as a mom of a five-year-old little girl to know that these women are investing in their future of their daughters.
I'm not going to get all mushy, but...
How can you not?
I just, like, when you said your daughter, and I know April, she has a daughter too, and I have a daughter who's almost a year, you now start thinking about them. Uh-huh. And like, hey, what I'm doing now sets things up for them. And it's so important.
Well, and these women are really living our mission. They've used our services. They advocate for us. They share their stories. They bring in other people. They bring in their own networks. I mean, Kathy Bumeter, one of my very favorite survivors I've gotten to work with, every day she'll call me and be like, guess who I met? And guess who's going to give us a check? And every day she's connecting with new people in the community. And she's fighting her second battle with breast cancer in 3 years. So it's really important for me to continue doing this work for these women. These women all are real examples to me. They're very tangible, and I think of them every day I get to go to work.
It's inspiring. It is the Making Strides St. Louis event, the 9th annual, October 28th. Registration is happening right now. You have plenty of time, plenty of notice to sign up. What about Missouri as a whole? Do you know how many women are diagnosed in this state with breast cancer?
46,000 women are diagnosed each year with breast cancer. And then we have around under 500 men that are diagnosed each year. So that's something to remember, that it's not just a female-driven disease, that we are having men in our communities diagnosed with breast cancer. They're kind of like the golden unicorn. You can't find them because they don't want to talk about it. And we're trying to open up that dialogue through our Real Men Wear Pink campaigns. We have several Real Men nationwide. That's a nationwide campaign that are breast cancer survivors.
Well, I made that faux pas earlier when we were talking. I said, now it's just hitting me that I had Jen, who, you know, battled breast cancer. And then I said something along the lines of Paul, obviously a different cancer, but he could.
He absolutely can.
Wow. I don't think I realized that it is a man's diagnosis as well.
It is, because men do have breast tissue. It just looks different than ours. So it's really important for the men to have a space that feels comfortable. And yet we're still looking for our golden unicorn of men that they can come out and feel comfortable. But the walk really does bring together men and women. And men are out there. We have a motorcycle group called the River Kings that come out every year. So we do have a lot of male elements. We have firefighters, police officers, former football players coming out as part of our Real Men Wear Pink campaign, and we're hopefully seeing a shift in conversation. We're at our former Making Strides Against Breast Cancer kickoff events, you're seeing a room full of women. Now we have at every single table several men sitting at the table, and they're either our Real Men Wear Pink candidates, they're husbands of breast cancer survivors. We're really starting to see a shift. The other thing we're seeing is our youth element with our breast cancer survivors. And a year ago, we had a woman come to us and say, oh, I want to do, can my little boys be real Men Wear Pink? And I'm like, well, it would be hard for them to raise, you know, $2,500 a piece. So we launched Real Young Men Wear Pink. And
yes!
So we have the little guys participating, zero to kind of college age, essentially. And they're charged with raising $500 to $1,000 a piece. So last year, we had 4-year-old twins participate. This year, we've got Bridget Bridget from Bridget's Brigade. It's another nonprofit we partner with. Her two sons are participating in Real Men Wear Pink, and her husband's doing Real Men Wear Pink. So they're kind of making it a family effort. She's a Portrait of Hope. So this is kind of like their homecoming year, I feel like. But again, it's really fun for even sons of breast cancer survivors or nephews of breast cancer mm-hmm. survivors to say, I want to do this for my teacher, for my mom, my aunt. And that's been really fun to kind of see this, again, this conversation shift that we're seeing sports-driven pink out games and things like that, but they don't really know what it means until we start getting our survivors on the field and having them talk about it.
And I love that we are bringing the youth in it. I think that that's so important. And
it's so cute.
I just think our youth need to know the importance of giving back. Mm-hmm. And, it's something I'm going to instill in my daughter. And when you have a story to correlate so that they get it and they know, that makes it even mm-hmm. easier, I think, for them to say, okay, I want to do this.
Well, and a lot of our survivors, kind of their methodology is they want to just... They don't want to be breast cancer survivors. They don't want their daughters to hear those words. And they said they just want one day for pink just to be another color, that it doesn't mean what it means today to a lot of us when we see the color. So that's been really kind of my pivotal point, is just to make sure that we're putting it out there in markets that people are really excited to be around it. And it's not just, oh, here's the pink washing that comes out. We get really nervous when we hear that. We're trying to make it meaningful in those communities. Yeah. And that's what our portraits are doing. That's what our Real Men are doing, is they're making it relevant in St. Louis.
Let's talk about donations and how they make a difference. I think sometimes people like to know exactly where their money is going. Some people, you know, think, okay, well, a dollar's not going to help. A dollar adds up. Your dollar with my dollar with another person's dollar, it adds up. So would you guys like to talk about that and touch on that as well?
Oh, absolutely. We're very fortunate to have incredible research in St. Louis, and I love talking about that. And you all were talking about more of the long-term impact of helping daughters and granddaughters not hear those words. And I think research is critical. That's where it's at. And we are also on the brink of so much. There's so much research activity happening at Washington University, St. Louis University.
Right here
in
our
St.
community,
Louis,
yes.
That American Cancer Society is funding right now. We even do research lab tours. We bring donors and volunteers into the lab to see it firsthand and talk with the researchers and understand where their money's going. But the American Cancer Society is invested in research across the country, and it's cutting edge, and it's the potential next breakthroughs. And there's really no big breakthrough in recent history that the American Cancer Society hasn't played a role in. I'm really proud of that, and I get really excited and kind of dorky every time I get to talk about research. The researchers to me are celebrities mm-hmm. when we get to meet with them or they come to our events, which I know they don't understand, but we tell them that all the time. It's really inspiring. And research, we have grants in effect right now that are close to $1 million. But we also have some seed grants right here in St. Louis that are $30,000. I know that's big picture, but you can see the impact, like you said, when you add all those dollars together. And another program that I love to talk about is something that people need right now, which is a ride to treatment. And we might not think about how many people need a ride to treatment, but if you think about your family around you and their need to work and how much treatment that someone may go through, a lot of times family needs help with rides. It's something that impacts everyone. And so just a donation as little as $15 can help us get a ride for someone to treatment. So the donations of 15 $1 bills will certainly add up there. And if someone misses a treatment, you can imagine, you know, that affects their entire treatment plan.
That is one of those situations that we also take for granted, like you said, just having a ride. Just getting a ride to your treatment. You don't think that that's a big deal. Yeah, that's a huge deal.
Well, just think of it. We're the sandwich generation. So we're taking care of our children. We're taking care of our parents. I don't think any of the three of us could take 60 days off to take a parent to and from all of their cancer treatments, all of their appointments, their whatever it is. And so that's where this program really comes into play for people that are really taking care of their families and in both sides of the spectrum. And they're really able to kind of free up that resource to get that person to treatment so they can get better and allow them to continue on their treatment plan.
The Hope Lodge is something that you both have mentioned throughout the morning, and this is really a unique, awesome thing here in St. Louis, where this is an opportunity to provide the patient and the caregivers free lodging while they're getting their treatments.
It's amazing to know that we have this. And a lot of people in St. Louis don't know. So Hope Lodge, we have 30 facilities across the country, and they're in cities where there are lots of cancer centers. But I'll tell you that MD Anderson doesn't have one yet. Dallas doesn't have one yet. So we're really one of the fortunate cities to have this. And this is a 43-bed cancer facility where caregivers and the patient come and stay for free. And the only thing they provide is their food. Well, then the community kind of helps out with that, because that's the only cost that they have to incur, and they've never been to a city before. Some people don't have stoplights in their towns, and so they are shocked when they come to downtown St. Louis on Lindell and get to the Hope Lodge. And we have Schnucks and Walgreens right there, but groups from outside can come and cook for them, perform for them, entertain them, do a craft with them, have movie night, whatever it is. Because if you think about what your plans are for the weekend, or your plans are for Thanksgiving or Christmas, they're at the Hope Lodge because they have to go to treatment the next day, so they don't get to go home like we all think about taking PTO time or vacation time. Mm-hmm. So it's really pivotal, and they develop their own sense of community. But again, our companies that participate with the American Cancer Society, our Portraits of Hope, our Relay for Life committees, they all go and cook food for the guests and just kind of take care of each other. So that's been really nice.
And I've done it before, and it really is easy to set up with your employer and the Hope Lodge. And you just choose, you know, something that everybody...
Pasta night, taco
night. Yeah, I was
going
to say, I think we did spaghetti night. So it was just easy to whip up the spaghetti and the salad and the bread. And just knowing mm-hmm. that you're doing something like that, and they're so grateful, it's just like, wow, this seems pretty easy, but it does make a huge difference.
Yeah. And I'll say, too, if the concept of Hope Lodge isn't sinking in, I mean, this is really a home away from home.
Right.
So we have people that stay with us one night or that come back for two nights a month, but we have had patients stay with us for over a year. Some patients, because of the treatment that they're going through or how far away home is, they have to stay nearby their treatment facility. So it really is a home away from home, and it is a life-saving service that the American Cancer Society is providing. So we also offer tours of Hope Lodge, and would love for anyone to come and check it out.
If someone wanted to take a tour, where would they go to sign up?
They just need to contact the American Cancer Society. So it's 314-286-8150 just to call the Hope Lodge, and you can speak with our wonderful staff over there and arrange a time to come and visit it.
There isn't a lot of time left, unfortunately. We haven't even tackled all the stuff I would like to, but I want to make sure before you both leave that you get to let the listener know your last minute comments or anything that you want them to know. I know for sure, Stephanie, we want people to realize that they can register right now for the Making Strides St. Louis 9th annual 5K, which is October 28th. Where do they go and register?
So you can go to www.makingstrideswalk.org/St. Louis Mo, and or you can just type in the search engine Making Strides St. Louis and it'll pop up. So that's an easy way too. Again, registration is free. You can register even up to the day of the walk. You can make a donation. We are available on social media as well. We're on Facebook, so we have a pretty active Facebook page that you can find where we're sharing stories of survivorship as well as just promoting our local team fundraising events. But as I said, it's a really fun, family-friendly event that really integrates everyone in your family. So you can walk, you can participate with our kids' activities, our survivor activities. We have fun entertainment happening. So we're really just excited about the walk this year.
And April, what about you? I know you always have something enlightening to say at the end when I'm like, oh man, how did I miss that?
You know, I just want to end with two quick things. One is that everyone listening right now has someone in their life that they love who's had cancer.
Absolutely.
And we've talked about how it is impacting your radio family right now, but everyone out there has someone. So know that the American Cancer Society is here for you. We're here for you with help and support now. We're doing research to help for the future. Think about those people in your life when you're looking to potentially volunteer with us. To donate, but also, as we said, that it's easy to put everyone else first. Remember to take care of yourself. So whether that's talking with your doctor about your mammogram, your colonoscopy, getting your skin checked for skin cancer, just finding that opportunity to live a healthier lifestyle, there's people around that you love that you care about, but there's people who are counting on you too. So I just encourage everyone that we're here for you.
And one last thing, I do want to mention that when you give out the resources for the American Cancer Society, you truly mean it. You mean to call, you mean to go to the website if you have been diagnosed or there's something not settling with you. Definitely use what you have.
Absolutely. You just type it in the search engine and we're there. So please call us.
Thank you both for coming in and talking, I feel like, only 5 minutes about something we could talk hours about. But I know that you'll be joining me again and we'll have more updates on what the American Cancer Society is doing. But thank you both for your dedication as well.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Jill.
You are so welcome. That does it for another edition of St. Louis Voices. Thanks for tuning in.